desired him that he would eat with him. This is found in Luke, the 7th chapter, and the 36th verse. Luke 7 and 36. He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Oh, I love that word. Which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought a very extravagant and expensive alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. My subject for today is supper at Simon's house. I invite you to a supper at Simon's house. The purpose of it all. Why are we here? What are we doing? Are we getting the job done? What is the job? We have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. But what is Esther's duty? What are we really supposed to do? In the last few months, I have been evaluating this. What am I really? And in fact, that's what Deeper Life meetings were originally begun for. 3 years ago, they began. The first one was supposed to be in Jackson, Mississippi, of 73. I believe it was. And then Brother Price heard us speaking of it in Miami, and he said, I want the first one in California. And so the first one was in the California district back in October. It'll be 3 years ago now. What were they for? Were they splinter groups? People that were trying to divide an organization? Men who were trying to set themselves up as apostles and prophets? Or trying to begin a new order, or write new scripture, or to become a Mary Baker Eddy or a Joseph Smith? What were Deeper Life meetings originated for? What can be deeper than the Holy Ghost? How can we go any deeper? Deeper Life meetings were designed in the hot heart of people who cared, people who were concerned, and it's not just a few, it's many. And I thank God there's more and more. And the crowd's getting bigger. And people are gathering around the cross in bigger fashions now and saying, what are you doing hanging up there? What is this red blood dripping for? What's the purpose for it all? We get caught up in the maze of activity, and it's very easy to be dedicated to the work of God without being dedicated to God. And knowing what it's really all about. Is it just hospital calls? Is it just handling people? Is it just announcing baby showers? What is the work of God for? What are we doing here? Deeper Life meetings were designed specifically, and I say of God, I say of the Holy Ghost, to tell me, listen, this is not a profession. You're not in this to make money. Preaching can be a very lucrative business, and preaching can be a very well-paying business with a minimum of effort. We can commercialize on hungry souls when we get them in, establish them, get them holy, and collect their tithes. And it doesn't take a whole lot of people to support a pastor and his wife. Good. I know that, and you know that. 50, 100, 150, shut it down. Our business is good. We're doing good. We've got our beautiful houses, our beautiful cars, our nice clothes. Forget it. And then suddenly something comes along and rocks the entire system. Something comes along and says, it's not a business. You're not doing good. There's 3 billion going to hell. 3 billion are lost. We're racing the Antichrist. We're racing the rapture. We have become preachers with no more text because everything in the Bible has been fulfilled. We used to fill the altars up using prophecy and future tense. And now we can hardly move anybody because prophecy has suddenly become past tense. No longer can you fill the altar up with the Jews going back to Jerusalem. No longer can you fill the altar up with talking about the reviving of the old Roman Empire. Even the Antichrist is old hat because it's in the Inquirer, it's in the Time magazine. A superman, no leaders, every leader being cut down. Everybody's looking for a one man. Books out now, President Kissinger, from obscurity to prophecy. You pick up that book and you tremble and you shake because the last chapter is Armageddon. Armageddon. What are we doing? Why are we here? Should we care more than we care? Should we expect more than we expect? Does God desire to get us out of ruts and get us out of routines and get us out of things that's not working and drop things that's not working and institute things that will work? It's not political. It's not ambitious. It's somebody laying themselves open and naked before all men and say, listen, I'm willing to tell you what I feel. I'm willing to expose my heart and let you watch it palpitate. Whatever we're doing is not working fast enough. Houston is going to hell. Texas is going to hell. America's going to hell. And the world is going to hell. And the United Pentecostal Church has the answer. All we've got to do is realize the purpose. We've got the greatest message in the world. We've got the only message in the world. There's no people in the world that can equal what we've got. Everybody operates without a promise. The Billy Grahams, the Catherine Kuhlmans, the Nikki Cruz, the David Wilkersons. Billy Graham preached to 1,300,000 the other week in Seoul, Korea. 1 million without a promise. 1 million without the true message. But a man that is so dedicated to a cause that suddenly he propagates his propaganda until everybody is speaking about the message of Billy Graham. But where is the church? Where is Calvary's purchase? Where is the elect? Where is the remnant? Where are the anxious people that's given the heart of flesh? Where are the people? Do they really care? What's Deeper Life Meetings all about? Apostolic action. Call them what you want to. In the beginning, they were not even named. They were just prayer and Bible conferences. Let's get together and lay at the cross a while and wonder what all that blood is dripping for. Oh, Jesus, what's it all about? What is it all about? So easy to get caught up in the routine of things and begin to compare ourselves among ourselves. What is success, anyway? We have learned to say success is when I get as many as he's got. Or when I can do what he's done, I am successful. We compare ourselves among ourselves, and we are not wise. What if suddenly the one that you're comparing yourself with in the eyes of God is a failure? And that none of us has done what we really can do. That we can do more, and we shall do more. A preacher got up in Canada not long ago and said, there were 2 ladies that came to my church the other night in pantsuits. Sinners. Outsiders in pantsuits. And I would like to go on record today as telling you that my ushers, praise God, hallelujah, my ushers, oh, thank the Lord, my ushers stopped them at the door and said, you're not welcome here. I would like to ask you a question. Why aren't they welcome here? Are they hippie in cutoffs? Are they hippie with a beard? Are they drunkard? Are they black man? Are they Mexican? Are just the sinner? Just the sinner. Why aren't they welcome here? We can become so involved in systems that we do nothing but think each other's thoughts, and we become guilty of spiritual incest. The brothers breeding to other brothers' minds what they think. And suddenly I'm not a thinker after all. I'm not a real man after all. I'm a polyparrot. And I don't really believe what I'm saying I believe, but I believe it because he believes it. And all of a sudden, we have become so body conscious that we diagnose every cough as pneumonia. And we diagnose every motive as political. And we forget that somebody among us can still be obsessed and possessed with the purpose so greatly that they are totally oblivious of everything else. Get out of my way. I've got to see Rome. I've got to see Rome. I've got to see Rome. Let me alone. Let me alone. You go your way. I'll go mine. Let me alone. I love you. I love you. It was 13 years before Paul went back to headquarters. 13 years. He never went back. Let me alone. Much learning hath made thee wild, Paul. Let me alone. Possessed with the purpose, obsessed with the real reason of it all. Let me alone, let me alone, let me go. I must see Rome. And all of Asia heard the word in 2 years. And every man, every man, every man, every man. Why are we here? Why are we here? Why, what's a teacher for? What is a pastor for? What's an evangelist for? What's a prophet for? What's an apostle for? What's the fivefold ministry for? It's not to say, I'm an apostle, look at the sign on my back. Or I'm a prophet. Or I'm a teacher. What is it for? To me, the fivefold ministry issue is completely irrelevant. Completely. Let them criticize whatever they want to criticize, whoever's criticizing. That's not the point. It's not the man that labels himself a teacher or a pastor or an evangelist or a prophet or a teacher. It's other man. It's other people that label him such. His ministry declares what he is. Why don't everybody let everybody go and let's win the lost? Let's save souls. Let's save souls. All things to all men. Let me alone. Let me alone. Let me alone. Let's win souls. What is the purpose? Why did Jesus come? Jesus robbed himself and robed himself. He walked from to. He ceased to become, in one sense, one thing, to become another for another purpose. Why did he do that? Without a midwife, have you ladies ever thought the mess at the manger? Who cleaned up? Who helped Mary? Who bathed the child? That was a regal, royal mess. And she wrapped him in the coarse, crude, swaddling clothes. And he lay in a cow stable. Now, I want to know why he left the palaces for a stable. What's it all about? The popping blisters of a carpenter shop. The lowly occupation. Why he who was so high would suddenly become so low? Why did he do that? Why did he do that? 33 years he was a revolutionist. He ate with dirty hands. He made whips out of twisted cow fodder. He kicked over money changers' table. He went into the house of God. Were it not what he thought it would be, he did not keep quiet. There was something in him that was so purposeful and so directive that his heart would explode and say, "Get out of here! Something's not right around here."
and he kicked over the table and he let loose the doves. And he said, this is not right. This is not the reason the house of God is supposed to be here.
And then he was known for meeting women down at a well, and women that had bad reputations. And he sent everybody else off, and he stayed there to meet that woman. He did it. They're going to talk about you, Jesus. They're going to talk about you. He was completely oblivious of what anybody was saying about him. Jesus, you haven't slept in 3 nights. Oh, I'm sorry. I've been praying. Jesus, your eyes are so red and swollen. He had been weeping over a city. What's it all about? You got to, did you see that crowd? Did you see how many you had in Sunday school last Sunday? Did you see those thousands that you fed? Thousands, Jesus. You have got followers. They're talking about you. Jesus, what are you still crying for? Why are your eyes still red? Even after Sunday school the other day, you stayed up all night and prayed Sunday night. I want to know why you did that. Jesus, they're talking about you meeting that woman down at the well. Why did you do that, Jesus? Luke 19 and 10 says that the Son of Man has come not to perform and please, but the Son of Man has come to seek and to save. Seek and to save. The Son of Man hath not come to perform and please. Hey, I'm going to do something here now. I'm going to go meet this woman down at the well, and I want everybody to look and tell me if you approve of it or not. Come on. He did not perform and please. He did not look back to see somebody else's reaction to what he did. That's the reason nails became his last words. That's the reason his blood spurted from anxious veins that were anxious to relieve themselves of deity's blood. Because he spoke not as the scribes and Pharisees. He came to correct situations and to establish anew, to lay the axe at the root of the tree, to cut down, to turn over and say, listen, Pharisees, this is not what it's all about. It's loving your brother. It's turning the other cheek. It's helping that one that's been stripped and robbed. In that every parable that Jesus taught, 3/4 of them was for helping your brother, helping the lost, forgiving your debtors. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, God, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And on and on and on. Teach us to pray. Teach us to forgive. Teach us, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus, your eyes are red. Jesus, you fasted again. Jesus, you met the woman. Why, Lord, why? Because the purpose of it all is to seek and to save that which is lost. Seek and to save that which is lost. Reach them at any cost. Become so totally obsessed that you're completely oblivious of everything else except souls, souls, souls. Much learning hath made thee wow, mad. Who is she that cometh forth as the morning, as fair as the moon, as clear as the sun, and as terrible as an army with banners? That is a panorama of the church. Abraham looked for the morning. The law was a reflection of grace, which was the sun. The law was the moon era of the church. The sun arose as Simeon and Anna held the baby in their hand, and all of a sudden the sun peeked over the horizon, and the sun began to shine greatly upon the era of grace, and Pentecost came, and tongues came, and Jesus' name baptism came. But I want you to know, never have we reached that time that the church is terrible as an army with banners, like we're about to reach it. We're about to reach it.
Much learning hath made thee terrible. Get out of my way. I've got to reach the Zacchaeus in the tree. If they're in a tree, we've got to climb the tree. If they're at the well, we got to go the well. If they're at a Pharisee's house where he knew nails was going to greet him when he walked out because he ate there, we've got to go eat supper at Simon's house. That's what it's all about. It's souls. It's a burden. This is not a business. It's a burden. God didn't call us to build buildings. He called us to fill them up. God didn't call us to buy buses. He called us to fill them up. God didn't call us to have 500 or 1,000 or 2,000. We do not know in Pentecost what a big church is. But when the church gets terrible enough and oblivious enough of everybody's feelings, our thinking, not their feelings, God help us to always love one another and go on and go on. But I want you to know every once in a while there needs to be a table kicked over. And there needs to be some doves loose. And there needs to be, stop! Reevaluate your position. Your prayer room was empty tonight. Your saints came to church at 20 minutes to 8. Preacher's wives, you haven't prayed in months. I've preached for preachers all over this Pentecostal ranks. That in 3 and 4 weeks revival, I never heard them pray one prayer. There was never the red eyes of Jesus. There was never the anguish of the heartbeat of a manger and the dripping blood of a cross. In Jesus' sweet name, why are we here? I would like you to come eat with me. This Pharisee said. And Jesus accepted the invitation and went and had supper at Simon's house. That's the reason he came, for the Simons. His advisors say, you're going to get criticism if you go down there. That's the reason I've come, is for the Simons. I'm going to eat at Simon's house. And would you believe that while he was there, a woman that was, again, questionable. Seemed like he was always around questionable situations. This woman came in with this extravagant alabaster box of ointment, very expensive. And this woman was a sinner. He attracted sinners. Sinners came to him. He was like a magnet. Everywhere he went, they were pulling in his garment, pressing through crowds to get to him. The dumb, the blind, the deaf, the ugly, the rich, the poor, the fat, the squatty, the tall. Sinners. That's all they had to qualify to get to him. It's sinners. Sinners, get out of my way. He attracted them. I believe the church of the living God can become so powerful and so possessed with the purpose that they'll drive by your street and feel something when they go by. He attracted sinners. He attracted them. All of a sudden, this woman burst in the door and broke her alabaster box and began to kiss his feet. He was still a young man. He was 33 years old. He was a year younger than I am right now. Think about it. He was a very, very magnetic man. He was a man of charisma with purpose. Charisma with purpose. All of a sudden, she's kissing his feet. She's drying his feet with her long hair. And Jesus Christ notices her. She's a sinner. She's a sinner. She's a sinner. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. Richard Strauss is my handkerchief down there. Did I bring a handkerchief? Richard Strauss, during Christmas time, was walking across the University of Texas campus looking for the Christ of Christmas. Richard Strauss. All of his life he had been taught that there was a God, and he got married and it broke up and his wife left him, and he turned to synthetics of the world. He turned to other avenues, dope, drink, cigarettes, education, lonely, miserable. The Church of the Living God is an ecclesia. It is a called out one. Called out one. Called out. Separated. Richard Strauss didn't know, but he'd been marked by a love mark. He had been marked to become one of those who was different. Called out.
Abraham from Ur, Jacob from the normal, three Hebrew children in the midst of Egypt, called out, or Babylon, called out. So this day there was something in him that says, get out and go walk through the mist and the haze of a Christmas season and look for the Christ of Christmas. Where is the Christ of Christmas? There is not. Everything's commercialized. Everything is fake. And he walked through the haze, and suddenly he saw the Christ of Christmas. As he was standing on a street corner, passing out tracts. You don't pass out tracts on Christmas. You pass out tracts all the time if you're seeking and saving. If you're willing to eat at Simon's house, if you're willing to be obsessed and possessed with a desire and a burden and a longing, you forget times and seasons, and if you've got 1,000 or 2,000 or 300 or 700, there's just something that keeps a driving you deep inside. You can't help it. You're always screaming and screeching and kicking and sweating and pawing. Get out of my way. I'm passing out tracts at Christmas time. Invited Richard to church, and Richard came and received the Holy Ghost and spoke in that beautiful language and was baptized in that beautiful name. And he said, later, I found the Christ of Christmas in the life of a Pentecostal personal worker. So I live with this feeling. How many more Richards are walking through haze and mist, looking for somebody, looking, looking, looking? Clara Clark could be deified almost for her great work for God. And the people, she stops on the street as they're walking along, and she pulls her car over. Don't pull that car over. I'm going to pull that car over. Get that person to church, and hundreds she's won to God. And Clara says, no, no, don't give me any credit. Think of the hundreds and the thousands that I pass by. Could anybody think like that? Is it perverted to be so in love with souls that nothing else matters, nothing counts, nothing worries you? You're just anxious and desperate to get to that goal. And as long as there is one in your city lost, you are a failure. If everybody in Houston was saved except 10 colored people across the tracks, you still don't have time to coast and to be satisfied. You've still got work to do. But there's a lot more lost in Houston besides 10 across the track, or wherever you're from, or Austin, or Alexandria, or St. Louis. My God, we've got a big job to do. Whatever we're doing is not working fast enough. So, oh God, help us to reevaluate and reposition and change our thinking and change our ideals and our ideas. Oh, God, help us to drop everything that doesn't work and institute something that will work to reach the lost. Let's pray right now. Oh, Jesus' name. Oh, God, save me, Lord. 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 Give me a burden like I've never had in my life, God. Give me a burden like I've never had in my life. Oh, Jesus. Jenny Crawford was rocking on her front step, reading a book, looking for life and its meaning. And a group of Pentecostal personal workers walked by, got out of the building, got off of the carpet, and got in the streets and walked by her. And all of a sudden she felt something so magnetic and so powerful that she walked down from those steps and she joined that crowd as it walked toward a campus to have one more street rally. And there she sits on the pew with tears streaming down her cheeks. And so many more that she's won. Thank God for Jenny. But I live with the feeling of what can be done. How many more Jennies are rocking out there? Jennifer Strauss was walking with her prop-sided hair, arm in arm with her illicit boyfriend. All of a sudden she passed the street gang.
And I thank God for the new breed of Pentecostals that scream and let me out of this building. I'm tired of just singing to one another and preaching to one another. I want to preach to the lost, to the lost, to the lost. Hallelujah.
Jennifer passed that group and she felt something. Kids eating at Simon's house. Oh, kids eating at Simon's house. The purpose. All of a sudden she was drawn to them. What have you people got that I don't have? Susan Wallinsford said, we have the Holy Ghost. We're Pentecostal. We've been baptized in Jesus' name. I also thank God for a new breed of Pentecostals that are not ashamed of it. Oh, yeah, it's no longer this kind of business. No, sir. They'll talk in tongues and handy-andy if they get a chance. They'll shout at Uncle Van's pancake house until they're blue in the face. They don't care. They take their Bibles everywhere they go and put them on the table. They want everybody to see them. If there's a bumper sticker, honk if you love Jesus, they go from table to table to find out who to honk at. I think that I see a manger again. I don't know, but I think I can see the purpose of why that blood is dripping. Something's getting a hold of us. Something is changing us. Something's motivating us. He's rocking the boat. I would like to say something at this time, and I won't even try to qualify it. But the issues of the five-fold ministry, the issues of restructuring this organization, and the television issue are triplet in one in the perfect will of God. How many more Jennies are rocking out there? How many more Jennifers are saying, what have you people got? What about the lady that drives the gray Cadillac and the man that drives the taxi and the butcher down at the grocery store? What about the Coke man? What about the gasoline station operator? What about those lawyers over in the rich sections that go to bed at night and cry themselves to sleep because they're so lonely? What about the masses of Houston that's going to hell, but they would not go if they knew how to escape? I invite you to a supper at Simon's house. I invite you to the sinner. I invite you to the purpose. I invite you to get out of your routines and your orthodoxy and go to where the action is, in Jesus' name. Jennifer received the Holy Ghost on the street, right on the street. The gutter became her altar. Stars became her chandeliers. Brother Kilgore, I say in the spirit today that the church of the living God is not going to have walls. The north, south, east, and west shall be our walls. The sky shall be our ceilings. The stars shall be our chandeliers. And the sun shall light our building by day. The rainbow shall be our decor. They'll get the Holy Ghost in the alleys, in the streets, in the parks, at the schools, at the colleges. If Pentecost can ever erupt into the purpose of why we're here. And people have heard me scream and screech so much the last few years, and I didn't want to come to this meeting. I've preached too much in Texas, and I say that humbly. I shouldn't even be preaching up here today. It should be Brother Gidrose, or Brother Foss, or Brother Kilgore, or Brother Mangan. I'm just 34 years old. But let me tell you something today. There's something in me that says Pentecost. There's nothing to equal it. And it should be as popular as Bayer and Buffering and Schlitz and the Astros. Hallelujah. It should be so important. Exciting. Big. Beautiful. Throw it out there. Where are you going, Jesus? I'm just going to go throw out some seed. Throw out some seed. You're going to go eat with another sinner? You better believe I'm going to eat with a sinner. You're going to take Zacchaeus? So you better believe it. Here's Zacchaeus. Here's you some seed. Here's some seed. Here's some seed. They're talking about you. Who? What are they saying? I don't care. Seed. 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 Sow it. Sow it. Sow it. The field is the world. The field is not Life Tabernacle.
The field is not the First Pentecostal Church of Austin. The field is the world. Don't worry about who gets the credit for it. Just sow the seed. My God, just sow the seed.
Sow the seed.
Save the lost. Don't perform and please. Seek and save.
Oh, in Jesus' name.
I say the church of the living God should be where the sinner is. I say the church of the living God needs to get mature in spirit, in mind, in purpose, in burden, in thinking that we can walk into a bar and not touch their drink, but change the drinker. That we can preach on the street to the braless women, but we'll still retain our beautiful integrity. We can bring the hippies from the gutter and change them into Bible carriers, but never, never compromise. We can sling this gospel through every avenue. They're eating at Simon's house. My God, they're eating at Simon's house. And every sinner, every bumper sticker, every billboard, every lapel button, every voice, everything would become a trumpet that blares the truth. Wow, they're eating at Simon's house. Ain't that beautiful? This Brother Cross got the Holy Ghost in Houston. But nobody knew it but those that had the Holy Ghost. See, we spend all our time preaching to the Holy Ghost people. All of our efforts to preach and sing to one another. Everything we do is for each other. We're so body conscious. And that's great. We've got to have a body. But we don't have to be walking paralytics. Nor do we have to be walking neurotics. He's got pneumonia. No, he just had to cough. He's doing something that's so odd. I think he's political. Forget it. He loves souls. Let him go. Whatever we're doing's not working. Somebody needs to do something different. Don't worry about compromise. My God, when are we going to grow up? We've been taught and preached to. And saints have been taught and taught and taught and taught. How much do we have to be taught? I would like to ask you, how many deeper life conferences do we have to have before we wipe the look of Laodicea finally off of our face, permanently off of our face? We get stirred up for a while, then we go back and sit on our doorknobs expecting to hatch eggs, holding our own, the same old complacent, dead Laodicean spirit. God, give us a permanent breakthrough. Give us a permanent change. Something happened to me and I'll never be the same again. Never. A preacher's wife left one of these conferences and she went home and told her daughter, said, now I'm going to my bedroom to pray and I don't want to be bothered. If the phone rings, don't bother me. I don't want to be bothered under any circumstances. Sister Mangan can tell you more about that. Then she prayed for hours, 2 hours. She prayed past all of her jealousies, all of her envy, all of her strife, all of her competition. She prayed till she loved those that she used to hate. She prayed till she got through all of her systems and orthodoxy and hang-ups. And she prayed for every missionary, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she'd ask God, is that all, God? Do I have to pray some more? And God said, pray some more. Pray some more. Pray on. Hour, 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 hour. Pray until something permanently happens to you. That woman left that prayer closet and she's never been the same. Oh, Pentecostals, we've got it. But we've got to take it to Simon's house. We've got to take it to Simon's house. Revival crusade. Isn't this beautiful? 7:30 nightly, First United Pentecostal Church. That takes money. You got it. You got it. You may have to quit going fishing a while, but you got the money. It's according to where your love is. It's according to what you really got down in here. According to the foxes have old holes. Brother Gidrow's preached. You know I'm longing to hear him preach one more time.
Oh, Brother Gidrose, I remember him preaching one time. Poor Pentecostal preachers. Foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not. Jesus, why are you doing that? I'm headed for Simon's house. Wonder how much this cost, Brother Jefferson, Brother Moore in Jefferson, Texas. Pastor M.J. Moore invites everybody to attend. That's the best feeling in all the world, to go to sleep at night and know you got a full-page ad coming out tomorrow that everybody in your city is going to see. What are you doing? I can't be everywhere at once, and so I'm going to get something that will be everywhere at once. I'm going to sow the seed. And on the same newspaper where they advertise X-rated movies, I'm going to advertise heavenly authorized gospel. You know what he said? Here's what he said. He said, Dear Brother Phillips, I have placed two full-page ads in our local. This is just one of them. He placed another. Is Brother Moore here today? I have placed two full-page ads in our local newspaper, and in this short time, this has been since the camp meeting, in this short time I've baptized over 20, and 20 have received the Holy Ghost. So far this year I've baptized 42, and 40 have received the Holy Ghost. I thought you might be interested, so I'm enclosing these two ads. Oh, sweet Jesus. Oh, Brother Cross got the Holy Ghost in Houston, but nobody knew it, but the Holy Ghost filled people. Another Baptist preacher prayed through in a church. And he told the pastor, he said, for 30 years I preached in the Baptist church. And he said there would be many times that the Holy Ghost would come down, and all of a sudden somebody over here would lift their hands and begin to speak with tongues, and we'd say, hush them up. That's not right. That's not for us today. He said, we didn't know what was happening. We didn't know what we could have. We didn't know that there was a people that lived and breathed. Just because we came to church and we've spent all week long without eating one bite at Simon's house. The apostles loved this so much they died for it. Heads were cut off. Brother Dees can tell you about it. He preached such a tremendous message at Jackson, the other side of revival, the bloody backs. What's causing these men to be beaten? What's causing them to be beaten? Why do they do this? They're possessed with something. They're driven with something. You don't just have it, you make it happen. And like a hungry, desperate, wild person, you don't care, get out of my way, and you elbow your way in until the governor knows you, and the doctors know you, and the lawyers know you, and Pentecost is a household word, and Bayer and Buffering spend $20 million a year educating the subconscious mind of the American public, and when they walk down the grocery store aisle and they have a headache, automatically they reach for Bayer. Marlboro country. I don't even smoke, and I know Marlboro country. One man said it was the graveyard. And the country of 1100 springs. I don't drink, but I know that. They have subconsciously educated my mind. What if all of a sudden the Pentecostals could shell out some money and put up some billboards and put out some newspaper ads and put it on radio? So that we could educate the conscience of the subconscious mind that everywhere they go, really they know Pentecost, it's different. It's not a religion, it's an experience. I wonder where I can go to receive something real. And we have so done our work, not pastored our 200. Never in the Bible does it say, pastor your 200. And never in the Bible does it say that they're going to come to you. The Bible says for you to go to Simon's house. The Bible said for you to go to the lost. It's your duty to tell them there's a hell, but there's a heaven. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. You're wrong, but you can be right. Pentecost. And when they get to the end of their road, we have so soaked our cities and so filled our cities with, here come the Pentecostals on the street,
They had the water festival. What do you call it down there, Carlos? They had the aqua festival in Austin. And thousands of people come for boat races. And they come down there for everything you can think of. So we just printed a tract that says, Living Waters for the Aqua Festival. That don't take a revelation. That don't take a prophet. That just takes brains. And heart and thinking. When you get oriented to reach the lost. Reach the lost. Reach the lost at any cost. Be everywhere. Pick at the exodus. Pick at the theaters. Pick it. Let me tell you something this. When you get what you're supposed to be, you'll be on television whether you want to be on it or not. Do you think they'd film the crucifixion if it happened today? Would they film the stone rolling back and a man arose from the dead? Would they film Lazarus coming out? I want you to know we're going to be on it whether we want to be on it. London under the night is splattered with the lights from broken pitchers. It's time to break the pitchers and burst the bushels and get matured enough, my God, to go wild everywhere. Simon, Jennifer's, Richard, here I come. Look out on the streets, on the campuses, downtown, in the ballrooms, in the civic centers. I was so thankful, thank God, for this Houston crowd last night that knew how to act in the civic center, shouting and talking in tongues. You know why? A few years ago, that wouldn't have been. We'd have gone there like a stoic stone age. But we're getting used to sitting on velvet cushions and shouting on platforms and looking at 3,000 and 5,000. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Educating the subconscious mind of the sinner. Living Waters for the Aqua Festival. Whoever heard? Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. On the back was the doctrine. Filling Jerusalem with your doctrine. Filling Houston with your doctrine. Filling Austin with your doctrine. Filling America with your doctrine. Filling the world with your doctrine. Jesus' name baptism. They know Billy Graham because he got to them. They knew all the false prophets because they got to them. They know all the demon worship because it got to them. The devil advertises and publicizes his diabolical dastard product. We've got it. It's ours. We've got it. Okay, you put it on their windshield. This is one thing we need to learn. You're not going to save your city. You're not going to save America. You're not going to save the world. There will never be a perfect world until he comes. He didn't say save. He said, go out and teach them. He preached for 3.5 years and only had 120, and he arose, and they saw him go away, 500. They saw the bottom of his feet. People come along and say, show me a miracle, and I believe you wouldn't do it. They saw a man go up in the air. What if all of a sudden I'm going to prove to you this is the truth, and I start rising? Ooh, you, evil Knievel. Right. They saw his feet go away. Did you know 100 saw him go away and only 120 went back to the upper room? But I guarantee you on every lips there was the Nazarene. Jesus. They knew about him. They knew where he was going to be. They knew. Every avenue was explored. Everything was done. Paul, much learning hath made thee mad. I love that. Terrible is an army with banners. Terrible. You got the power, now get terrible with it. Terrible. I don't like that music. It sounds terrible. Now we're getting somewhere. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The sinner. Thinking like the sinner. Loving the sinner. A burden for the sinner. A longing for the sinner. The sinner obsessed with the desire to reach the lost at any cost. And so you put all these things on their windshields and hand them as you go down the street. Don't worry about them coming. Just give it to them. Pray for them. I've done the work. Now, Holy Ghost, you draw them in. Come on. Without God, man cannot, and without man, God will not. The church, he took off his coat. The apostles took off their coat. In Song of Solomon, that bride is sitting in there, patting her eyebrows in place, and licking her lips. And the bridegroom says, let's go. Let's go on the street and get some dew in your lock. She says, I can't. I've got my coat off. It's not time for you to take your coat off. It's time to put on the whole armor of God and go to battle and breathe the smoke of battle and get to Simon's house and get to eating and deal with the sinners and live with the sinners and let the women come in with pantsuits on. Let's stand right now, please. Hallelujah. I want us to pray together.
I feel so good about it. I'm gonna sing and I'm gonna shout it. Well, I feel so good about it in my soul. Look out, look out. I feel so good about it. I'm gonna sing and I'm gonna shout it. Well, I feel so good about it. I want everybody to get up, walk up and down the aisles and shake hands with people and sing it. Oh, I'm gonna sing and I'm gonna shout it. Well, I feel so good about it in my soul. Yes, Lord, I feel so good about it. I'm gonna sing and I'm gonna shout it. Well, I feel so good about
eating with the sinners. Going to where they are. Seeking and saving, not performing and pleasing. Obsessed, possessed. Just going, that's all. Sowing. The field is the world. Sowing. Thinking like the sinner. Thinking like the sinner. We have thought and fed each other's thoughts so much that anything new comes along, we react. He's morally clean and doctrinally correct. He hasn't done anything against the Bible or the manual. Let him alone. He says he's an apostle. The day will declare it. Let him alone. If he's a quack, you'll hear it before long. If he's an apostle, you better get out of his way. He's a prophet. What are they all for? Save souls. One teacher said, I'd like to say that I'm a teacher and I've taught for 40 years and nobody's ever got the Holy Ghost. He needs to break the pointer, run through the chart, do a backflip over the wire, ride it like a stick horse. He better do something because he's out of the will of God. You teach to seek and to save. You teach to seek and to save. Perfecting the saints for what? To be better soul winners. That's the reason they're bored when you talk about holiness. They've heard that till they're so holy they stink. So pharisaical with it, too. We're holy. Nobody knows it but the holy. Where the rubber rubs the road is when you start talking about your holy to the unholy. And boy, then it gets bad. And no, it gets good. It gets good. Go tell Simon about your holiness. That's the truth. That is the truth. Thinking like the sinner. How long does it take to get used to your kind of music? Well, I've never gotten used to it. But most of our music's not for me. Now, that's where we get, see. Shall we gather at the river? Good, I love that. But the man out there on the street don't know anything about gathering or the river. But he does know the beat he's used to, and he does know that if you put different words to that beat and reach him with that message, you'll get it. You say, I don't believe in that. Jesus did. You ain't supposed to eat at Simon's house. I've had an invitation, and I'm going. Jesus went to preach to the spirits in prison. He had to go to their prison and talk their language. I became all things to all men that I might win some. And Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, which was a place of orgies, political rallies, and drama. And he elbowed himself right in there and says, I got an unknown God to talk to you about. Run him out of town. Ha ha, still preached it before you ran me out. Elbowing your way. Taking advantage. What's the difference? What's the difference in putting Johnny Cash in the forward than advertising with every means?
Why did you put Johnny Cash in your foreword? Or Tom Landry? Now, he is not in the manual or the church directory.
Tom Landry is a coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And we got his name all over our foreword. Did you know that Brother Chambers presented the United Pentecostal Church story to Johnny Cash and to Tom Landry and to Paul Harvey? Now, why do we do things like that? I think it's great. I think it's fantastic to have governors on the platform, to make friends with Mammon. I think it's great. I think it's great. Put it all on that. Put it everything. But now, what's the difference in handing and putting Johnny Cash's picture in our paper? Why did you do that? Because you wanted to inform everybody that Pentecost is getting into areas where it never got before. Well, why don't we just go ahead and get in there? Elbow your way right into Mars Hill.
Sister, I'm through with the singing. Thank you very much. I'm going to preach some more.
She would want me to quit. I know her.
And I will before long, really. Thinking like the sinner. Thank you, Lord. Getting out there where they are. Preaching to their prison. Reaching them. That's what it's all about, people. That's what it's all about. He didn't call us to build, but to fill. To reach. To go out. To spread the gospel any way we can. Rachel said, give me a child or give me death. Could you ever get to that place where I want to give birth to children? We've got too many sterile people in Pentecost. In fact, you travel the Pentecostal circuit and you'll find out that about 75% of the United Pentecostal churches are uninvolved. Uninvolved. They're bench warmers. They got the Holy Ghost and put on their nightcap and went to bed. But that's the preacher's fault. And the preacher's wife's fault. They're not, you know, your ladies are going to come late if you do, sister. Now, again, traveling Pentecostal circuits, you learn a lot of things about pastor's wives. A lot of things. You say, I'm not called to preach. When you married your husband, you became part of the call. And if your ladies are going to be spiritual, you've got to be spiritual. And you've got to smile. My Lord, have mercy. You look like you need a checkup. That old bland. Don't tell. I know. I've seen them go to sleep and pat their spit curls in place while their husbands were preaching. What do you do about them? Knife them to the altar. That's what you do. Knife them to the altar.
Pray them through. Silence them for 3 months so they pray through and get to talking in tongues and shouting. Quit worrying about how pretty they are. Get involved in the work of God. Hallelujah. I tell you something else. That pastor's wife talks to that pastor and breeds jealousy. You better watch that evangelist. He's taking on. I know that. I've been there. And we've had to slip out of their house and go eat because they didn't feed us too. And wait till they got to bed and got to sleep and tiptoed with our shoes off and then put our shoes on and headed for Burger Chef. Because she had to sleep to three. I tell you what God needs to do to us. He needs to throw a Pentecostal stick of dynamite right in the middle of us and blow this whole thing sky high. Truth. It is the prayerless preachers and prayerless preachers' wives begat dead churches. A worldly pastor's wife begats a worldly group of ladies. And a neurotic pastor's wife begats neurotics. And a pastor's wife in the chains puts everybody in the chains. Ah! Yeah, what'd you think this was? A picnic? A deeper love conference is to shake every one of us. And stir every one of us. And it lives in our mind what we could be and what we should be. or any of the sinners. God, give me children or give me death. The Molly Thompsons or the Nona Freemans or the Vesta Mangans or the great women of our ranks that know how to pray and the preacher's wives that don't come to church is a sin and they're going to be lost. Couldn't go to church because I got a headache. What if you had 10 kids or 5 kids and had to work like the women in your church and you expect them to be faithful? Oh, mercy. Consistent pastors, consistent preachers, consistent evangelists. I'll tell you what, a breed of evangelists is coming on that's got a phone bill this long. They love to talk to one another and gossip, tell all the latest. And they gripe because they don't get $2.50 a week. Leave phone calls everywhere they go. Live like a bunch of cons and liars and crooks. It's the truth. It's the truth. We're breeding a bunch of egotistic, conformist, cons, crooks. Everybody needs to go back to Calvary and find out what that dripping blood's all about. Oh, what is this? Is it a game? Have we suddenly become like the men at the office? Backstabbers stepping on corpses to get higher? Have we suddenly become like the Nixon administration? We don't know who to trust and everything's bugged and watch out what you say. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, save us all. Save our wives and save our preachers and save me and save her. Save everybody in my church and get everybody on fire. Church is not a place to come to. It's a place to go from. You perfect the saints to win the sinner. We need to think like this. The music's not for us on the streets. And a lot of times the music's not for us in the church. I don't like some of that music either. But I've got to be broad enough and big heart enough to know there's somebody back there that likes it. And they're lost. They're lost. They're lost. And maybe that will win them. Brother Price says, how do you begin to have a soul winning church? Such a fine gentleman and a wonderful man. Well, first of all, you teach people how to mow their yards and edge the grass. Paint up the church. Ain't nobody going to come to a hog pen. Secondly, you teach them how to put toilet paper in the bathroom and put all the light bulbs in place. Right. That's no problem. That don't take an apostle either. It just takes... Ain't nobody going to eat at your house if it stinks, if it's nasty, if it's filthy, and the kids have got gum all over the books. And then... you teach people how to smile. I think some preachers need to preach, and I do too, and I do it all the time. Just have a smiling session. It's something that all of our people know how wide the tabernacle door is, but they don't even know how to be friendly. Walk in, cold, unfriendly, no personality, no charm, no Calvary charisma. Nothing. When Jesus sat down, all the kids came around him. Poof! Jumped up in his lap. Kids don't have nothing to do with a deadbeat and a sourpuss. He was charming. Jesus was charming. Some people say if you use personality, you're a showman. Well, get to showing something. Move your hand. Move. Move. You're dead. Move. You teach your saints how to move. Get out and go shake hands with somebody. There's not a service that we don't shake hands. Walk around. Shake hands. Don't give me this old catfish junk. Put some oomph behind it. Get a spark in you. Straighten your shoulders. Quit thinking about yourself and start thinking about others. You're to radiate love. You're to emanate love. You're to emanate charisma. All of a sudden, your sign's painted, your yard's mowed, your curb's edged. You say, that's silly. No, it ain't. Kept a lot away from your church. No toilet paper in the bathroom. And the light bulb's out, walk in there, and everybody's late. Nobody's in the prayer room. Now, wait, I got to get to that. And you walk in, and everybody's cold and unfriendly. This is supposed to be the church. This is not a Kiwanis club. The church of the living God. And out of your innermost being flows. We need the flowing process. Out of your innermost being flow. We're conductors, and the sinner can't feel anything till the saint feels something. It flows through us. To them, put your coat on and get to performing for God. Smile.
be happy, friendly.
And then, at 20 minutes to 8, if that's when they get there, you should have started 10 minutes ago. I went to church the other night, and the pastor was on vacation, and it was 7:30. I said, do you start at 7:30? He said, yeah, we're supposed to, but the pastor never starts at 10 minutes to 8. God docked him 20 minutes every service. His son comes up on time. His son sets on time. You can say sunset at 6:07. Everything is perfect. You run church like God runs his universe. Colorful. You don't have to be drab. Colorful. Beautiful posters everywhere. Colorful. What's wrong with that? You've got artists in your church. I'll get to that in a minute. But if they get there at 20 minutes to 8, you say, all right, who went to the prayer room? Nobody. All right, we're going to all go to the prayer room. Now, this is the way you go to the prayer room. Everybody stand, please, and you go to the prayer room. Okay, the pastor walks in there. Oh, God, hallelujah. The pastor's wife is going around and praying and talking in tongues. And all of a sudden, the ladies say, hey, that's the way you do it. He's my leader. He's my shepherd. It's a pitiful thing when the sheep go to leading the shepherd. That's a perverted thing. And we got more saints that's more spiritual than some of us. And I got people that pray 5 hours a day. And I don't. But friend, every time I can get them one more minute in, I've got to keep up with them. Because when the sheep start leading the shepherd, friend, there's something wrong. You just take them to the prayer room and you get them in the habit. Don't walk in the church. Be like Catholics. Catholics know better than that. They kneel and pray before they sit down. We come expecting a martyr's crown just because we had to drive 15 minutes through traffic, but we could drive 800 miles for a vacation.
Oh, in Jesus' name, what are you doing? It's deeper lifetime. It's apostolic action time. Shake us, God. Stir us, God. Who made you a paragon of success? You did. You asked me to preach. I wish I was back in Austin running something. I don't want to be up here. I'm not no example. I'm preaching to myself. And as my mind is clicking right now, I can see the weakness of the Austin church. I can see it right now. All those people that hold two jobs and can't pray 15 minutes, you get them in the habit of going to the prayer room. It's a sin to sit on the pew before you go to the prayer room. It's the voice of the prayer room that fills up the empty altar. It's the voice of the prayer room that brings in the sinner. All of a sudden, she ran in and fell at his feet. What did it? His presence. His presence. How do you get his presence? You talk to him. And you love the Bible if you love the author. And you love to talk to your bridegroom if you love him. Pray, pray, pray. Pray. You get him to go to the prayer room. You mow your yard and you edge your grass and you paint your building. And then you fix up all your bathrooms and you get your water fountains to working and you don't let your baptistries leak. You know, physical things. And then you teach them spiritual things. Go to the prayer room. 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 Don't you sit down. If they sit down before going to the prayer room, have them stand. March them to the prayer room. But you do it with love, see. Let's all go to the prayer room, children. Boom! Get them in a habit of that. All right, then the song service starts. Everybody sings. Everybody sings. On the first note, boom. This is God's house. This is God's worship. And sinners are here. We have got to let them know the volume of our love. And then the first song starts and boom, everybody sings. Nobody's playing with kids. Nobody's worrying about their headache. Sure, you got a headache. That's dedication. Consecration is living right. Dedication is dedicated to task. You go to church sick. You go to church with headaches. You pray when you don't feel like praying. You shout when you feel like crying. My God, that's dedication for the sinner. For the sinner eating with Simon. Creating an atmosphere for the lost. Who says you have to have songs, sir? Have you ever thought that they're tired of them on the stairway to heaven? Have you ever thought that you could create something new? I'm not talking about quit singing songs, but what about opening a service with courses? And what about the pastor's wife being like a hound dog looking for new courses? You say, I can't sing. Get you a tape recorder. Look for new courses. Color, charisma, variety. Not the same old
drudgery, and there's nothing that is so dead as dead Pentecostal orthodoxy and ritualism and ruddism. Making like the sinner, making it conducive for evangelism. Rachel said, give me children or give me death. I got to have it. I got to. And so you think continuously like the sinner thinks. Like the sinner thinks. And then you teach them soul winning. And this is where you got people in your audience that's great artists, that their talent's just lying there. You got people in your audience that's good printers, and they know layout work, stuff like that. I don't do that. Now, I can get the thought and all that, but that's as far as I can get. I can, you know that some pastors are afraid to use their thinking people. In fact, some pastors don't want their people to think at all. Just be zombies. Don't use their talent. There's a strong man said, don't be afraid of him. Use him. Go to him. Say, look, we need some ideas around here. These walls look like, not yours, Brother Kilgore. I'm just Austin. These walls look horrible. I don't know how to draw. I wish I did. I always wanted to be a mechanic, carpenter, an artist. I believe I could rule the world if I was those three. But I don't know how. So I go back and I say, look, I want emergency sessions of the Spirit all over this wall. I don't want nothing junky. I want you to go get you a committee that knows how to cut out letters right. And I want you to do it right. And if you don't do it right, you work all night till you do it right. It's discipline. It's dedication. It's conscientiousness. Why do you want it right? Because I want to attract the sinner. And God does things right. God does things colorful. He never lets you get used to fall so much before he changes it to spring. And summer, he's not going to let you get so bored with summer that all of a sudden, boom, it's spring. Or it's fall, and it's winter, and it's spring. Oh, he's changing coats again. Isn't that wonderful? I love him with all of my heart, and I want to be just like him. Come on. Okay, I said, here come the Pentecostals. First of the year, here come the Pentecostals. And Carlos is an artist. I said, lay it out. Do it right. Make it come out of the clouds. I don't know how to do it, but do it. And he did it. Okay. Mark Estes has got in a computer business and all that. I don't know about computers or printers or anything. National Printers of America. I'm in the UPC, not the NPA. Come on. Use them. Involve everybody in your church. That's the reason street meetings. And don't knock bus routes. There's some people in your church that's got a burden for bus routes. And a burden for the street ministry. And a burden from door to door knocking. And a burden for hospital calls. And a burden for crazy house going. Let them go. Involve everybody. Consider the ant thou sluggard. Look at the coney in the hills. Look at the lily in the field. It spins and spins. Look at it. Active. Look at the church. Dead. Same old. Jeremiah the 7th chapter, the place of burning shall become a place of burial. The place that's supposed to be woo, woo, woo. You walk inside, everybody knows what to do. The ushers in their place, the song leaders there, the orchestra's there. Woo, nobody's late, the prayer room's going. Everybody's smiling, woo, woo, woo. Burning. But instead, it's like a graveyard. In the name of Jesus. Eating at Simon's house. Give me children or give me death. Give me children or give me death. That's what it's all about. In Jesus' name. Use the people that know how to think. Print it up. First of the year, I got this idea from a book. Johnny, we hardly knew you. John F. Kennedy. Millionaire. Running for office. Multimillionaire. How do you win office? First of all, you divide Boston up into areas. And over each area, you put a captain. And under each captain, you put a team. And they knock on every door in their area and say, John F. Kennedy, 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 John F. Kennedy. Jacqueline went to the grocery store, and she'd go say, let me borrow your PA system. Hello, preacher's wives. Hello, I'm Jacqueline Kennedy. A socialite, no doubt, is what she is. Whether you love her or hate her, she's still the most publicized woman in history. I'm Jacqueline Kennedy, and I'd like for all of you ladies to vote for my husband. Can you imagine? In a grocery store. It's 4:30 in the morning. It's the shift change. And they're walking out through the gate at the shift with their lunch pails.
sleeping, going home. Who do you think greets him at the gate? The millionaire, John F. Kennedy, shaking their hand. 4:30 in the morning. 4:30 in the morning. Vote for me, please. Glad to meet you, sir. That smile, my Lord, that smile. How do you think they win presidencies? He said, I'm running for presidency. I'm going to divide America up into areas. Over each area, I'm putting a captain. Under each captain, a team. It's your duty to contact every city, every village, every hamlet. John F. Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, John F. Kennedy. Northeast, Northwest, South Central, Southeast, Southwest. From San Diego to Seattle to Anchorage. From Bangor to Miami. Amy, John F. Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, John F. Kennedy. I said, why in the world, if they can do that for their own personal self, why can't we do it for God? Why can't we do it for God? And so I said, let's call it the Austin Blitz, which is a German word which means lightning-like fast. Boom! And our goal is to fill Austin with our doctrine. Fill Austin with our doctrine. Fill Austin with our doctrine. And this is where it hit me about television. And I've never preached it. And I get to this point every time. And I always back away because I don't want to cause any division. I want to multiply. I don't want to weaken. I want to strengthen. But while I was preaching on Push Back the Horizon and Wake Up to What's Happening, and that Baptist preacher got the Holy Ghost and said, there's 10,000 out there in those houses and in those apartments. If they only knew what you had. The Austin Blitz. The Austin Blitz. Okay, I want to divide Austin up into areas. Over each area, put a captain. And under each captain, put a team. You say, watch out, they're going to get your church. If you're that afraid, Brother Mangan preaches a sermon on Moses calling all the people in and transmitting the burden. Transmitting the burden. This is the reason some preachers say you can't pastor over 150 because they're prisoners of fear. They're afraid to let this thing get out of hand. Let it go! Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. Sow the seed, let it go, sow the seed. Eat at Simon's house, go the well, go the tree, let it go. Conducive, clean yards, clean church, poster, smiles, prayer, personality. Oh, togetherness, drive, unity, go. No families, no cliques. There's no families in the church. Everybody's one family in Jesus Christ. You have no brother, you have no sister. These are my brother, these are my sister. The lost, the lost, the lost. Let's go. Whoa. God, can't you feel it today? To see how easily it can be done. It can be done so easily. So you divide Austin up into areas, and over each area you put a captain, you transmit the burden, like my pastor taught, like Moses did. I'm putting you over this area, and I want you to knock on every door in that area. Now, how are you going to knock on every door? How do you know where to go? It's always when you introduce personal work, people sit around and say, I don't know where to go. I don't know where to go. Well, we're going to solve that. Now, how do I solve that? I ain't got the mentality to do that, and I don't have the connection, but I know somebody that does. Mark Estes, you got access to the city maps. I want you to go get me the city maps, and I want you to organize it where Captain Number 1 is over here in Northeast Austin. You give him his area and his maps, and then you give him 5 maps, and he gives them to teams of 2. And then they go at their discretion, no certain time, just go and knock on every door in that area. And nobody can say, I would do it if I knew what to do. You know what to do. You've got it in your hand. There's the street numbers. There's the houses. There's the landowner. There's their name. There's their phone number if you want to call them. And so every door in Austin was knocked on in 3 months. 3 months. And not only that, there's the artist that did Here Come the Pentecost. There's the brain that divided it up and got me the city maps. And they're prayer warriors. They're fasting. They've got personality. They walk in the building and the building lights up. Boom! Because they're active. They're active. Nobody's worrying about, I don't like the way her hair. Who's got time to worry about her hair? My Lord, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. To Simon's house. And so every radio. And this is where I got January the 1st. It's been dealing with me for 2 years. Every radio station, Pentecostals, Pentecostals, Pentecostals. Now, you can't get on a rock radio station and sing, Shall We Gather at the River. But their ear's not tuned to that. So you become all things to all men to win them. And so you get your psalm that says, Everything is just all right with Jesus. Then, boom, here come the Pentecostals. Have they knocked on your door yet? If not, they will. Here they come. And these Pentecostal deals are in every bus station. Did you know that the young people, even the children in the church, can go to every laundromat
every bus station, every library, Pentecost, Pentecost. Fill in Houston with your doctrine. Fill in Houston with your doctrine. And then you're going to go back and look at your 200. That's not the will of God.